quite right too, but bear in mind...
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Thank you, Phil. And as Anna Lewis is obviously suffering from a heat stroke in Jersey, we're going into a musical slot. Show day, that's all I can say. Well, it is the Lincolnshire Show Day. It's also Midsummer's Day, and it's just a joyous time all round. But you can enjoy it even more if you actually have the right kind of food. And when we start talking about the right kind of food, including fruit juice, the best person to talk to has to be ace nutritionist extraordinaire Sean Porter. Good evening, Sean. How are
you? Hi, Alex.
We finally managed to connect together, as you said. Yeah. We're just in neighbouring counties. It should have been such a challenge yesterday
to get through. I know. Let's blame the heat, eh?
Absolutely. Anyway, let's start talking a little bit about this particular study that shows that people in the United Kingdom only eat four of their recommended five a day. And clearly, this is not good enough.
No, that's right. And in your area, in Lincolnshire, it's 3.9. So, yes, I mean, rounding up to be four a day. And, yes, we're not having enough. The fruit and vegetables are a really important part of the diet. We get this data from something called the National Diet and Nutrition Survey, which is a rolling government survey that looks at what people in the UK are eating and drinking. And some really interesting data from this showed that fruit juice drinkers have a lower body mass index and waist circumference than non-drinkers. And actually, if you have fruit juice, you eat more fruit and veg, not less.
Well, this is, of course, something, as you rightly said, adult fruit juice drinkers had significantly lower BMI, body mass index, by 1.1 units, and adult waist circumference was significantly lower by 3.2 centimetres in women, 2.7 centimetres in men. So, yeah, for a long time, though, the accepted wisdom has been, oh, fruit juice, it's got so much sugar in it, you shouldn't touch on it at all.
Yes, exactly, and I think that there are a lot of myths, and certainly when I see people, they are very confused, but... it does count as one of your five a day. You have to limit your portion size, so that's one 150ml glass, which is a small glass, and I really recommend that people do bother to measure that out a couple of times so they know what it looks like in their favourite glass that they might have at breakfast time. So that's the portion. But actually, on average in the UK, even fruit drinkers aren't coming anywhere near the 150ml a day. So... It can make an important contribution, and we're all trying to eat more. Remember, the five a day is a minimum, so it can be a useful intake. And you know, as part of a healthy, balanced diet, so one glass of orange juice is going to give you your entire recommended amount of vitamin C for the day, plus other essential nutrients like folate, which is important for healthy blood, and potassium, which is important for things like blood pressure and fluid balance, so really important when you're trying to keep hydrated, like days like today.
Very much. I mean, sure, I could obviously talk at length with you about selenium, about coenzyme Q10, and a whole range of other factors. But it's a wonderful stuff. Let's introduce you to the studio team of Midweek Drivettes today. We have Annie Snart and Tessa Snart and Ben Lewis. Tessa.
Yeah.
Where do you sit on this whole... I mean, as a student here at the University of Lincoln, what are your thoughts on this
survey? Yeah, well, here and at home, we generally have quite a lot of fruit juice. I mean, I eat a lot of fruit and fibre, and I do like my fruit, but it's interesting. It's nice to know, sort of, in millilitres or whatever, how much you're supposed to have, because when you buy a carton of juice from the shop, it doesn't look that much if you've got a family of four, but really, you're only supposed to have a limited amount a day, so it makes sense, and you can make that carton last. And I think it's really important to know, and I think, like we've just spoken about, I think people are confused on how much they can have in a day. the amount of juice, especially with sugar intake.
And is that the question about concentrate? Because clearly there are certain brands which say never from concentrate, as though concentrate is some kind of evil nation of the whole thing. And then, of course, there's the other view, Sian, that, you know, if you see concentrate, you think, well, that's just basically like a mass of sugar.
Well, no, it's very much up to personal preference. And as was it Tess just said, that it's a really good point about buying cartons, and you can get the long life juice, which is just, you know, is good nutritionally. The important thing to look at is it's 100% pure juice or 100% fruit juice, because then it's just got the juice from the fruit, nothing's been added. And about 10% is sugar, but 90% is water, and then the vitamins and minerals and the important plant chemicals. Mm. And as you're limiting your portion, ideally have it at a meal time, so have it with your breakfast. The bonus of that is, like, the orange juice got the vitamin C, it will help you absorb the iron, it's better for your teeth. And, you know, things like long life and the juice from concentrate is can be a really cost-effective way of buying it. And, like, if you're a student or an older person or anybody on a budget, it can be a good way of having one of your portions of fruit.
Ben, this morning when we were heading off to the Lincolnshire show, I was sharing with you the excitement I was having about this feature that we were going to have on, and you had an interesting question about orange with bits.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people say about fruit, and it's different from smoothies. Obviously, smoothies is technically sugar, but your body needs the fibre and the bits that are required in the fruit for your body to be able to process it properly. Is that the same case of orange juice? You know, the difference between bits and no bits. Is there any different health benefits of having bits or without? Is there any sort of
The fruit juice, the orange juice with bits in, as you say, with a bit of pulp in, it will have a bit more fibre than the smooth orange juice, but smoothies are a different thing. But interestingly, a portion of smoothie is only 150 mils as well, so that's limited as well. So the difference between the smooth juice and the juice with bits is it will have slightly more fibre in it.
Annie, thoughts on this, because obviously you've brought Tessa up as her mother, and she seems to be on top form. You're a top professional singer as well, so what are your thoughts on the nutritional aspects here?
Well, it definitely starts at home, education at home. We have such fast lives these days, and we tend to go for the easiest and quickest option. And it's nice for us to be able to stand there in the mornings and squeeze out your grapefruits and squeeze out your oranges. But you can get them in the supermarkets. But I was always led to believe that if you put a bowl of fruit on a table or somewhere at eye level of a young child, all the lovely colours, and just encourage them when, you know, if they want a snack, don't go to the chocolate cupboard, go to the fruit bowl. And that's what I did with mine. Because it doesn't spoil your meal. It does give you more energy. And it's just getting that message out there. I think, you know, people are trying, like some of the food chains are trying, that they are putting the smoothies in these fast food chains. But yes, I think it's got to start at home and be put in the lunch boxes and school lunches.
Sian, does that resonate with yourself?
I think that's absolutely fantastic. It does start at home, and also it has to be, you set a good example. There's no point telling a child to eat something that you don't eat.
That's right.
And I think particularly with girls as well, we've got to set the example that, you know, we enjoy our food, and that, you know, the first rule of healthy eating is enjoy your food. And you know, that resonates so much with me, Annie, because I have a saying, you know, keep the fruit bowl full and the biscuit tin empty. And nice. People worrying about sugar, you know, it's things like cakes, biscuits, sweets, sugary drinks that they need to sort of address first, really, if they're looking to cut down sugar. So, and getting the knowledge, you know, people aren't stupid. They just need to have the information to make those informed choices. And I think about going to reliable sources for information as well. There's so much noise out there, particularly now we have social media, and it's knowing really which information you know to trust. But yeah, start them young, and things like eating as a family and all those things, so important.
Ben's been social mediating with the best of them today from the Lincolnshire show. Thoughts on what you've just been hearing? Is that a sort of the scene in Brighton?
I think Brighton, they love smoothies, and think health new health trends they absolutely love down there. I think There seems to be different angles that the industries, the food industry in particular, is going into to incorporate healthy foods. A lot of new stuff has obviously come out quite recently, but in terms of fruit and things like that, a lot of, obviously, look, turns toward breakfast more, because breakfast is obviously considered the most important meal of the day. Obviously, a lot of fruit is meant to be used in people's breakfast meals. What would you say, or would you recommend people try to incorporate in their breakfast? What would you ask people to sort of stay away from, if it was possible to?
All right. Well, what I would say is that if you're having something like a breakfast cereal, choose a whole grain breakfast cereal and choose one that's unsweetened, and add sweetness by adding fruit. And then, obviously, that's the ideal time to have your one, you know, your small glass of fruit juice. Because the great thing about that is that then you've had your breakfast, then you've had two of your portions already. So often people say, well, how can I get, you know, five seems hard, 10 seems impossible. But if you psychologically, you have a good start to the day, you've got two in there. So I think that would be my main tip, is having a glass of juice and having an unsweetened cereal. So then you're cutting down your sugar and adding some fruit to get some natural sweetness. And then you're obviously going to add fiber, and then you're going to add vitamins and minerals. If you want to look on the cooked breakfast side, then obviously things like mushrooms, tomatoes, they're going to count again towards your five a day. So if you're having maybe at the weekend when you've got a little bit more time, is don't forget to add those into your plate.
So the full English and the croissant European, sometimes just step aside and get the balance sorted through. It's very important.
Yeah.
Clearly, I would recommend www.nutritionist-resource.org.uk to actually find a whole range of things out about the nutritional work, including your good self, Sean. But is there another go-to website that you'd particularly say, yes, go there?
Yeah, if people are interested about the fruit juice research, have a look at fruitjuicematters.eu/en. And if people want great nutrition advice, then the British Dietetic Association website has loads of free fact sheets, including one on fruit and veg. That's bda.uk.com or good old NHS Choices.
Are we improving, Sean? I mean, you know, you work with the Food Hospital, Britain's favourite supermarket foods, all the aspects, the One Show, etc. Are we getting healthier, or is it a case of, well, we're talking a lot about healthy foods and our five a day, etc., but in practice, maybe we're still sort of not necessarily putting into practice what we preach?
I think we've got some good news. So our salt intake is going down, and that's partly due to reformulation. Because 75% of our salt comes from processed food. So that's been really, and really positive things like reducing salt levels in bread. So that's really good news. We still got, with our five a day, it seems to be stalling a little bit, but some groups are doing better. The over 65s are doing better. So I think that, and people... any little count. So I think that sometimes people think, right, you know, I need to do this, and they sort of want to change everything in a day. It's small steps. So even, like I said, just having one extra portion of fruit and veg in a day, think, I'm going to do that this week, I'm going to take it with me, or I'm going to have that glass of juice with my breakfast. And then that becomes a habit, and that's what it's all about. And like I said, it's about enjoying your food.
And, of course, there is the line, which is the headline I occasionally tend to use when I feel that, yes, we need to strike people into action. Sugar is the new nicotine.
Yeah, we could have a huge debate again.
It's not. Well, Lord. Sean, it's been fantastic touching base with a good self. I can hear the cheers from Edinburgh and Olivia up there saying, yes, they finally managed to get together. Hurrah! Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, thank you so much for having me on.
So can we prevail upon your good self to join us once again from Northamptonshire in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of what's happening with respect to nutrition and good work and all the rest of the bits and pieces?
I'd welcome that. Thank you.
A round of applause for Sean Porter, please.
Never. to stay warm.
Festivals. We've had the Cannes Film Festival, we've got the London Film Festival, and we've certainly had the Edinburgh Film Festival, which indeed I think has a science fiction edge this year. Now, somebody who can't be on the midweek drive today because he's in his black tie, he's got the full DJ scenario around, he's at the launch of the Edinburgh Film Festival, is our ace author and general wonderful Edinburgh correspondent, William Coles. Good evening, William.
Good evening. How are you?
Very good indeed. So at this moment, it's rather a Cannes Film Festival transfers over to Edinburgh. Share with us, how did you get involved with the Edinburgh Film Festival?
I've been writing, along with novels, I've been writing screenplays, and I have weaseled in to their, I've made the grade for their premiere today of God's Own Country, which is a Pennine version of Brokeback Mountain.
You say God's Own Country, surely it's Yorkshire. I mean, I've got to say, right from the start. The Yorkshire, I mean, getting in Lancashire there, who knows what's going to happen on that basis. But great stuff. Now, you kept this very quiet in amongst all the sort of wonderful things there. So how has this developed? Share with us the gestation and the way this has actually developed and come to fruition in Edinburgh at this moment in time.
My new writing career you're talking about?
Indeed, yes.
It's a brilliant idea I had that I was at a party this summer for the Romantic Novelists Association, and there were 200 writers there, mainly women, because it's mainly women who write romantic love stories. And I said to one of the people, how many of these writers have had their books turned into films? And the answer was zero. And what I realized was that you wanted to write the film first, and then when the film got made or got accepted, that's when you wrote the book. You didn't write the book first. And that is where my energies are now going. Films.
What's the sort of general feeling in the Coles household? Are your family very proud, William?
Very proud. They wouldn't be proud if I won an Olympic gold and an Oscar. Like our friend Jesus said, a prophet is not without honour, save in his own country. So for anybody, it doesn't matter what they do, their family still just treat them as the idiot who they knew, who they've known all those years. Yeah, your family keep you honest. They couldn't care less.
Well, there you go. I know that in the studio, the team, Tessa Snart, Annie Snart, and others are sort of just fascinated by that whole sort of sequence. Will you be back with us again in full force via Skype next Wednesday, as far as the Midweek Drive is concerned?
Yes, just try and keep me away.
There we are. And for people who want to find out further details about your writing and all the other heaps of good things that are actually there, where's the best place to go?
It's my website, wcoles.com.
Perfect. That's great. A sort of short 3 minutes little piece there.
I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me. Every step I take recalls how much in love we used to be. Oh, how can I forget you? When there is always something there to remind me. Always something there to remind me. I was born to love you. And I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When shadows fall, I pass the small cafe where we would dance at night. I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Oh, how can I
So, Tessa, I seem to think Sandy Shaw and then, of course, Leanie Jane, who would perform on that basis.
Yes.
And if memory serves, Leanie Jane, you got some exciting news about a charity event you're getting involved with in the very near future. So share with us.
Yes, it's all about educating once again and making aware of some of the things that can go wrong in this world. And one of them is taking care of our elderly. And I will be taking part in a charity function, not this weekend coming, but the following weekend, for the Edith Ellen Foundation. And we've been very, very lucky to get Sir Thomas Barder's daughter on board to help us out, to promote it all. And basically, it's just to educate the people that are working within the system and to find out better ways how we can look after our elderly in care. It's gone wrong sometimes, and something's got to be done about it. We've had dear elderly patients that have not really been treated too well. They've been neglected for whatever reason, and we've got to do something about it. So we're making a stand, and it will be a 1940s based show, so there will be a big band there in Norwich, and I'm very, very honoured to be a part of it, and it's something very close to my heart as well, so looking forward to that.
It's good news. How can people support it?
Well, they can go on my Leanie Jane Facebook page. We've still got details coming through, which I will pass on to Tessa so that she can help to promote that, hopefully through here. And it's not something that all the details are through at the moment, unfortunately. So at the moment, it's only via myself. I'm speaking closely with the organisers. There's been a bit of a hold-up on how to actually support it, but once it's launched, we will have a website for everybody to join.
It's wonderful. I see you're looking forward to being a guest on this week's Sound and Country Vision radio show. I'm looking forward
to seeing you put that on as well.
Standing. That and the Midrick Drive, outrageous. Annie Lewis has been running late, but might be with us shortly. Certainly David Solomon will be. Wondrous stuff, but we don't have time to squeeze in all of Madonna, not while we've got Trigger, a.k.a. David Solomon, online. Isn't that right, David Solomon?
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, he's doing it.
Oh, delighted. Now, I have the video all set and ready to go, which makes perfect sense on radio when we're talking at 28 minutes to 6 o'clock here on Wednesday about Believe This Our Trigger, it says. Now, I mean, being a grammar pedant, I could sort of, this is trigger, this are trigger, these are, tell us about trigger, please, David.
Okay, but I'll have to tell you about the grammatical misdemeanour.
Please.
That relates to a poster that I saw a long, long time ago, was about, all the two-tone artists were on it, and it said, this are two-tone at the top. So it's a reference to that.
Nice. So, that's good. It's the apostrophes that you see misused so often. It gets you. It's just not on, really.
I know. It's not the
dumb thing to comment on it anymore. We're about to actually hear Believe, which has been defined as a horrendously catchy song, a cross between Ian Dury and his Blockheads and a whole range of aspects. Would you like to sort of just share with us, David, what we're about to listen to and indeed see if you go to the YouTube Trigger video?
Okay, well, this is my take on religion, and, religion is kind of stupid, and I wanted to kind of highlight the whole silliness of it all through the medium of ska. So that's what this is about. And there's a couple of extra little twists in there just to keep it interesting.
Okay.
But that's the basis of it.
Okay, well, I think we've got it. And obviously we can't say we necessarily endorse these views in any way, shape or form, but it could be toe-tappingly wonderful. It could be a challenge. It's Trigger. It's Believe. It's the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Jehovah's Witnesses, Evangelists, Methodists, Fundamentalists, and Scientists. So many Christians and so few lions. It's true that I believe that all these nanas know the truth. Oh, I don't believe that smoking marijuana's bad for you now.
two stone as opposed to two tone. Let's do the rounds. Ben, what did you make of Believe with Trigger?
Well, I must say to the viewers, the video is very interesting.
The video is explicit. Do not show it to anybody under 18. I shall say no more.
Although, the song itself, I think it's very interesting. It's very Madness-like in terms of the band.
Okay. Lini Jane?
Love the melody. Love the melody. Yes, it's a daring subject.
Very daring.
Daring.
Are you expecting to have a fatwa launched upon your good self, David?
No, mate. Bring it on. You can't go through life trying not to offend everybody, can you? And some people just love to be offended, and there's not much you can do about it.
No.
PC world.
It's out now on Flick Knife Records, and indeed ridiculously catchy, as we said. A song which has been stated sure to offend and amuse. What about yourself, Tessa Snart?
It's definitely amusing. It has an amusing like melody and rhythm, and it really reminds me of the band Madness's music. It's got that vibe. I liked it.
Yeah, definitely a cross between Madness.
It may have a little bit. I mean, maybe the subject, you know, it's risque, but the song itself, I think, is catchy.
So, Trigger, has it been endorsed in any way by, shall we say, any imams, any popes, any particular sort of? I mean, has the Unionist Party of the DUP actually got behind it? Possibly not, but.
I haven't actually asked for any endorsements from those particular organisations.
That's good. Good thinking, David.
That's not really my demographic.
Because even Tony from Manila PR would probably find that just a stretch too far. I know he does a lot of good stuff here, but he'd probably find that just a wee bit sadari from that point of view. And as you say, Trigger, the creation of your good self, David, a bit of an unusual character, a master's degree in Eastern philosophy. You were for a time a religious education teacher in Wales. Now,
for about 5 minutes.
Exactly. Must say to the viewers not to confuse Trigger with Trigger Off Only Fools and Horses. It's a different spelling and a different person entirely.
Mm-hmm. A health and safety advisor by profession, you've spent several years working on ships and rigs in Europe, Asia, America, and Africa, and you're currently working on as a health and safety consultant on London's construction sites. Well, given the recent tragic news, hopefully they need every health and safety issue they can get. Really,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm a mess of contradictions. What can you say?
Tessa, any questions for Trigger?
How did this? Because I don't think we've got over this. How did actually this come about? This song and Trigger and I don't know. It's just How did it come about?
Well, the song, the basis of the song, the chorus of the song, was something that I wrote when I was at university a good 20 years ago. I'm showing my age now. And we just basically used to play on that for hours on end, just singing Marijuana over and over again. And I thought, put it in my back pocket, and I thought, I'm going to use that sometime later down the line. And then the time came, and I thought, well, to make it into a song, I'm going to need to put a couple of verses on it to make it interesting. And I've studied religious education at degree level, Christianity, the basis of, and also I've studied Hinduism and Buddhism at master's level, and so I've got some sort of...
And your other songs include jazz, blues, reggae, funk, trance, bluegrass, funky house, rap and acid rock, touching on subjects such as suicide, university, Eminem and The X Factor. What's not to love?
Including all audiences.
Exactly.
That is a variety.
When I sit down and say, right, I'm going to write a song now, the first thought that I think of is, I want to do something that hasn't been done before, or at least hasn't been done a million times over. Mm. So I've sort of picked subjects that are a little bit edgy, or a little bit not been sort of done to death, you know?
Fair to say it's unlikely any of those topics will be appearing on The X Factor, apart from maybe a self-indulgent line about The X Factor.
But it's a USP, though. If it's to help you get your profile raised, I think all for the better.
Trigger.
Yeah, no, it's not very it's not very kind to The X Factor, my X Factor based song.
You surprised me, David.
It's intrinsically critical of the whole thing.
And here was I expecting Simon Cowell to be on the phone immediately to say, sign that man up now.
It's a soap opera in a song. That's exactly what it is.
It is. It actually is. It's one of those You know, another thing, I haven't written a song that sort of tells a story. You know, some songs tell a story. This is there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. So yeah. I thought that's the one I'm going to use for the, for the X Factor. So it sort of tells a tale. It's an X Factor style song in terms of the production and the music. But it tells a story of a young girl who, you know, loves to sing, and she gets taken on and does the X Factor and wins, and it's all brilliant. And then obviously, you know, rise and fall story, it all goes pear after that, everything goes wrong, and she ends up a lot worse off than when she first started. So it's kind of a cautionary tale at the same time as being a criticism of the
You've missed nothing out.
including probably the rehab that Ant and Dec are going through. Well, one of them anyway. What the hey? We love you, honestly, Ant. Anyway, they did the very first interview ever of their lives with me on Biker Grove. Just a little piece of vital history there. Wow. So in many ways, I feel
connected with the Geordies there on a whole new level.
Wow. Where have they gone? You know, do they want to rumble? I don't know. Trigger.
You've still got their number. Give them a call. They might want to appear in the video.
Nice. Yeah. Goodbye. Always on the case. Always. David, it's been fantastic. Such experience with a good self. Take care. Trigger, T-R-I-G-G-A-H. Trigger, the place to go. We'll keep appraised of how Trigger develops.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. What's the video? What's the video?
Exactly. Unless, of course, you're a child, in which case, don't. It'll scare you. That's all I'll say.
Funny how the circle turns around. First you're up, then you're down again. Though the circle takes what it may give,